If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 120 as we look at today's sermon and the beginning of this journey for the pilgrim, the beginning of this journey for us as we are pilgrims heading toward the celestial city. We are on this road, and as the title says, discipleship for the long haul includes this idea of a new path. Another way we could say that is it includes repentance, a turning from maybe an old path, maybe old situations, maybe old beliefs, and turning to, repenting, and starting on a new path. This is what this psalmist, this pilgrim, writes here in Psalm 120. Let's look at Scripture and pray and begin. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows, with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me, or yours might say, of the juniper. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, even as we look at this interesting beginning, the pilgrim's beginning. We would find within your word and within this truth a message for each one of us, whether it be a message of conviction, a message to turn from something, or a message of hope and encouragement. Lord, it always is here. There might be a truth that convicts. There's always a promise that gives us hope and joy. And there is always a Savior that we look to out of these truths from Scripture. As we even sang, we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, in this pilgrim journey, the question is, have you ever had a bad neighbor? I really pray not, but I am sure there are probably a few stories in here of those that live around us that have caused distress. For our day and age, we might call them neighbors. We might call them those who live close to us, community. But this psalm is about the pilgrim living amongst, as Charles Spurgeon amusingly put it, bad neighbors. And what is his response? He is in distress, and that leads to a question that really this psalm gets to. Whom or what do you turn to when you are in distress? I would ask, have you been in distress? But I think all of us could say, yes, at some point we have been distressed. But the question really is, to whom or to what do we turn to? Do you turn to when you're in distress? For some of us, I think maybe my proclivity is to get busy, to do more, to fix something, to clean something, to put something in order. Maybe there's this idea that that will produce a little peace within my distress, a little bright light of, well, at least I got this project finished? Or do we do as the psalmist says, in my distress I called to the Lord? So along this journey, as it begins, the pilgrim first has his cry, a cry out to God, a prayer to God. That's first the pilgrim's cry. But then we'll look at a pilgrim's consolation, his reminder to himself of the truth of what God has done for him and why he is setting off in this journey toward God. And lastly, in this psalm, there is a pilgrim's confession, a pilgrim's repentance. And as we begin to look at this cry, first off, he calls to the Lord as he's heading out toward Jerusalem, toward being with the people of God, toward being where the Lord is worshiped and where the Lord resided. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. His distress seems to be what is given to us after he begins the prayer. And he reminds us of what we must turn to within our distressful moments. He calls to the Lord. And that, of course, is a simple reminder for us. Do we go to him first when the day doesn't go as planned? Or when the day goes as planned and there is too much planned within that day and we become distressed? Do we go to him? Because the psalmist gives us a promise here that he answered this pilgrim and he answers us. It might be with the answer of wait, or I have a better plan. It might be with the answer of yes, but the real first step is, do we go and turn to him? Or like that question asked, do we turn to something else? I could name 100 different things that we could turn to. We work more at our career. We open up the refrigerator door. We turn on the TV. We get in the car and take a trip. We get away. Fill in the blank. Those are all good things. But when we do those things because we're in distress and we turn to those things as our hope to alleviate the distress, we've missed that first turning, that first prayer, that first call out to God who answers us. What is this cry? Deliver me, O God, O Lord. What is he asking delivery from? Lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. There are those in my community, my neighbor across the fence, you don't know what they just said about us. You don't know the complaint they just brought to my doorstep. Or fill in the blank. You don't know what was said about me or about my family or about the church that I worship at. What brings you distress? For this pilgrim, it was he had men and women in a community around him who were proclaiming lies. Maybe about him, maybe lies about the Lord. And this pilgrim has had enough. He cries out, Lord, deliver me. Pull me out of these situations of lying lips of deceitful tongues. People promise me one thing and they don't deliver. Or they try and be nice and then they attack. Like I'm a prey. They're deceitful. They trick. They say one thing and do another. And this pilgrim says, Lord, take me out of those situations. Rescue me out. Deliver me. Pull me out. This is a reminder for us that to start this journey with God, going toward God, there has to be a discontent with the world and the lies that we see around us. That's a quote by Ray Fowler, pastor. That we are done with the lies that we keep on hearing, that we are fed up with what we see in our culture, and we desperately need the Word of God, the truth, to ground us, to plant our feet back on solid ground. This pilgrim turns to the Lord. He does so with a cry. It reminds me of the New Testament passage in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 speaks of this desire for all of creation to be delivered and for us as God's creatures to be delivered and brought out. And I won't read the whole context, but verses 18 through 28, you can read that whole section. The prayer is beginning in verse 22 that I want to highlight. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We too, in our spirit even, cry out, deliver us, O Lord, pull us out. Keep us clean from all that the culture would tell us to follow. This reminder that the pilgrim lives in a distressful situation. He lives among people of lying lips and deceitful tongues. It reminds us of our day and age, that this is our life. We are looking forward to a glorious heaven, but it is not yet. We already have the promise given to us. Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14, but we are in this not yet season, stage, age of life. And we are awaiting what is to come. What has already been promised but is not yet reality. Interestingly enough, right after this song of ascents in Psalm 137, there is this jab given to the psalmist in that psalm. He's by the waters of Babylon, verse 1, and there we sit down and weep. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there were captors required of us. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. It's almost like the world that can easily taunt us and say, oh, tell us of this God of yours, and laugh, and torment, and joke with us about our faith. And verse 4 of 137, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And that's the question for us. How do I sing of God's praise in a world, in a culture of deception, amongst lying lips, evil tongues? This is how we do it. We first begin with prayer. Say, God, I am surrounded by a culture that doesn't believe in you, that laughs at you, that preaches to me lies. What do I do, Lord? Deliver me out of this, is the cry. We, even as Jesus prayed for us, we are kept in this world and we are in this world, but we are not of this world, as we see in John 15 and John chapter 17. A prayer of take us out, Lord. And before we look then at the pilgrim's consolation, we need to ask that question, this beginning question. What do we turn to when we cry out, I'm in distress? I am anxious, or I heard terrible news, or Lord, why am I still waiting and waiting for this thing that I have prayed for? Do we turn to Him, or do we turn to fill in the blank, to find our consolation, to find a remedy, to find some peace? Here is what the pilgrim turns to. Even as he's leaving and departing for this journey, and he's heading out, he asks a question of those that he is departing from, the liars and the deceivers. In verse 3, what shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? It's actually what happens is when lies get spread, or our name gets rubbed through the mud, or your reputation is changed, there's really not much that can be done but turn to the Lord and say, Lord, may you restore and may you deal with those lies. And that's kind of where this pilgrim is at. What shall be given to you, lying lip, deceitful tongue? What more shall be done? I don't know how to answer these lies. Where does this pilgrim turn to? He turns in verse 4. His consolation is in the Lord. Just as the beginning of the psalmist shows us, he starts with a prayer and he says, Lord, only you can deliver me. And the Lord answers his prayer. And here is the answer in verse 4. A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. It's interesting that in this psalm, the Lord is mentioned only twice. But he is also mentioned quite subtly in verse 4. What is the answer to the lying lip and the deceitful tongue? It is arrows that have been sharpened for battle. That's what that phrase means. A warrior's sharp arrows are the ones that have been sharpened. They are ready. And they are ready to put down the lying lip and the deceitful tongue with glowing coals of the juniper or the broom tree. What in the world? This was a popular bush. It was actually called a shade tree and still is a shade tree there in the desert, dry, arid part of southern Israel, the Persian Gulf and Middle Eastern area. And this juniper tree was great for shade and great for fires. It burned hot and fierce, and it burned long. Some historians and commentators say that you could depart, leave your ashes of this broom tree for a whole year, come back, and they would still be warm. These were long-lasting coals. I don't know if they carried them with them and took them into their next destination. It would have made sense. They kind of would have had their ready-made fire. But it's this picture of a fire that would never end. Coals that would last long. This is the end for the lying tongue, the deceitful spirit. Arrows that have been sharpened. Coals whose fire is not put out. Intense heat. I hope that reminds you of another fire that will never be put out, of another place of torment that is eternal. And this pilgrim is consoled to be reminded, Lord, how will you deliver me out of this community or this world of lies? Is there hope that I can look forward to? And he reminds himself as he begins this journey, yes, the Lord is the judge, and he has sharpened his arrows. The fire is hot and eternal for those who die with deceitful tongues and lying lips. And out of the consolation for this pilgrim, I believe there's also this commission. And I think this is true for all of us, that as we think of what is coming for those who haven't turned to Christ, arrows that have been sharpened, a fire that will not go out, that might console us to know that there is judgment for the unjustness, the injustice that we see all around us. But it should also cause us to desire to be commissioned to go out and call others out of those things, to remind them that judgment is coming, that there will be a time when the battle will ensue and the lake of fire will be set for those in judgment who have not turned, who have not done what this pilgrim started and did by crying out to the Father, oh Lord, deliver me out of the lies. My hope is no longer in this community or in these lies or in the world. My hope is now turned to the Lord, who will deliver me. The pilgrim begins his journey with a cry, a prayer. He is consoled by reminding that God will bring justice, and therefore he is commissioned in the same breath to remind everyone else that justice and judgment is coming. But here, the psalmist ends the psalm with a confession. It's a reminder that all of our journeys as pilgrims, all of our roads begin by turning away from and turning to God, by renouncing what the world would offer, or even what we try to do in ourselves, by creating a world around us, by trying to be almost a savior for ourselves. We turn away from that, and we turn to the Lord. For this psalmist says, woe to me. It might be a reminder for you, that same language of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. As Isaiah sees the glory of the Lord filling the temple, and he falls on his knees. He can't even look. Woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips. Here is a psalmist who comes to that point. I should be counted amidst this people of lies and deceitful tongues. I should be receiving that judgment. But, oh Father, you're delivering me. You have shown me the path. You have given me a heart that wants to go on this journey to Jerusalem, that wants to go and meet you in your holy temple. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. This is most likely a metaphor. Whether this pilgrim actually journeyed to Meshech and Kedar, they're miles and miles apart. And they were considered in that day kind of the savage no man land. I live among those who could care less about love, about a God who loves them, the savage lost. Woe to me that I live amongst them. And then verse 6, too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. All around me I see wars and hatred and evil speaking against one another. And the psalmist gets to a point where he says, too long. I've had enough. I am going to be with the people of God. And that is in many ways a reminder for us that that is our gift and our blessing that we have here amidst the people of God. And we call others to come into this community, not of hate, but of peace. For us then to go back out as pilgrims in the midst of hatred, to be those who bring a message of hope and peace. I pray that on Sunday you realize that here is an opportunity where I get to be with people who love and who want to bring peace and who want to restore reconciliation and restore relationships with one another and who want to share with others the love and the reconciliation they can have with the Lord. That is the community, the people of God. And it should give you a desire to come and be with this church, this people of God, to love each other, to remind ourselves that we have a message of hope and peace so that we can then go back out refreshed, re-energized. For this psalmist ends, I am for peace. Literally, it actually just says, I am peace. The believer stands for peace. I know the one who is the Prince of Peace. I know the one who calls me to be an ambassador and to reconcile others to God, to bring about peace in relationships. This pilgrim says, I am for peace, but when I speak, even when I try to give a message of peace to those around me, they are for war. Where is the hope in this psalm? It begins with distress. It ends with this word, war. The hope is in the name of Yahweh, who is not absent from this psalm. The Lord. The Lord hears our prayers. Our prayers when we are amidst a people of lies or a people of deception, amidst a world that is telling us lies and it's trying to call us to believe and embrace its hopes. Whatever it might tell us will solve our problems. There's hope that we are delivered out of those things to our Lord. And what's amazing, even as we close, that in this pilgrim's cry, in this pilgrim's consolation, that judgment is coming. And even in this pilgrim's confession, that I have been in and amidst those people for far too long. But I am coming out. I am repenting and turning to God. This psalm also points us to the Savior, who I believe knew this psalm, would have sung this psalm as well, even as a little boy traveling with his family, going up to Jerusalem. Jesus himself would have had these words, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And you know what? This psalmist says, he answered me. But on that cross, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was silence. The Father turned his back on his own Son. And because of the silence of God toward his Son, we can be assured that when we turn to God and we cry out to him, there will be no silence. He answers us. He will bring justice one day for all things. And he has brought the Prince of Peace. Jesus could say, as verse 7 says, I am peace. The guards roam around me as for war, but here I am, the Prince of Peace. And I'm on the cross hanging for you so that you might have peace in your life. It's a beautiful beginning, actually, to a journey, a long journey of discipleship, that we can be reminded that we have repented and turned from the lies around us and what the world would want us to embrace, and we have cried out to God, and He has brought to us the Prince of Peace. And this pilgrim, as he's going toward Jerusalem, he is not thinking of what he has left behind him so much as he is thinking about the peace of walking toward God and the peace that awaits him as he goes to worship with the people of God in the city of Jerusalem. And he thinks of his God who is peace. I pray that this psalm reminds us on this long road, this journey of discipleship, that we can turn to God at any time, amidst lies, amidst a trial, amidst fill in the blank, and He is our Prince of Peace. And He will remind us that to follow Him is the most rewarding journey we could be on. Do you believe that by faith? Remain faithful, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, brothers and sisters. Remain faithful. Know what you've been brought out of and what you are awaiting, and that the Prince of Peace has given you His Spirit. We have that peace within us. And may the Spirit go with us on this journey as He has promised. He is always with us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this start of the Song of Ascents as these pilgrims would go up to Jerusalem. Lord, we are on this journey going toward the celestial city, the heavenly gates. Like Christian the pilgrim, we may find ourselves amidst a people of lying lips, of deceitful tongues. We might have that proclaimed to us through the paper or the news or the TV or fill in the blank. We might have that message burdening us this morning. Lord, may we be like this psalmist who cries out to You. Deliver me, Lord. Remind me that You will have the final word, that evil and unrighteousness will not win the day, and that You have turned our turmoil and turned our distress into peace. Thank You for Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who has come. Thank You for that gift that You have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.